few years before Malala Yousafzai was on the largest international stage. 3 years ago, she was 14 years old. And on a typical day, Malala sat in a simple, broken-down desk amongst peers, studying Urdu grammar. In the Swat Valley of the Hindu Kush, winter bites through everything, so often Malala would have to wear 4 layers of clothing that it couldn't keep the building as warm as they would want. Later in a day, she and her fellow students would be led by their teacher in chanting chemistry equations out loud, which they loved. Because for many of these female students, education was never a guarantee, it was only a dream. So they were happy. And the atmosphere was always also tense, because the girls knew that many people in the region stated that girls should stick to their roles of being daughters and mothers and wives with no personal identity, let alone education. Malala's father started this school because he wants all children to have access to formal education. And it's a long way to go to get to that goal. The United Nations estimates that up to 5.1 million Pakistani children have no formal schooling. Malala says in those days she and her peers talked about school as the Aladdin's lamp, or the doorway to the magical world, which they just were enchanted by. And in order to connect with that enchantment, they sacrificed. For starters, the school basically existed in pseudo-hiding. It's not that nobody in the neighborhood knew the school was there, but everybody had to keep it as low profile as possible in the comings and goings and how much noise they made in the school during the day, because the Taliban had declared prohibitions on girls in schools, and they had physically destroyed over 400 schools in the Swat Valley. It was serious business to make and go to school. When Malala was 11 years old, she connected with a reporter from the British Broadcasting Corporation, and they established a way for her to write a blog to the world under a pseudonym, a false name. Malala wrote, and more people followed her, telling what it was like to live under Taliban rule, where they declared nobody had the right to be free. When she was 13 years old, Malala gave up her anonymity and began speaking out publicly using her name. She and her father always knew that their lives were on the line. They often worried more about his well-being as the head of school, but they risked everything because of what they believed in: education for all and being somebody, everybody having a chance to be somebody. One day, a Taliban gunman flagged down a school bus, boarded it up into the middle, and shouted, "Who is Malala?" And he shot her in the face at age 15. She actually remembers very little of that day. What she has reconstructed is from her friends reminding her and telling her what happened. But in reflecting on that horrific event, she says, "All my weakness died on that day. They thought the bullets would silence us, but out of that silence came thousands of voices." Empowerment is the theme of the month, and it's in our mission statement here. And I will tell you, empowerment is synonymous with Malala. This girl is empowerment embodied. She currently lives in London, where she goes to school, tries to be a regular high school kid, doing her homework and blending in somewhat to the school during the week. But on the weekends, however, she works with partners around the world, advocating for all children to stand up and used their voices, demanding their God-given rights to education and peace. She made me think of the story of David and Goliath. I'll tell you the truth, if you remember that biblical story where the Philistines worked to destabilize Israel, and they launch their best weapon, this massive man, Goliath. This guy is unbelievably tall and strong, and he's equipped with the most modern, best armor. And he threatens Israel, declaring they must send one man to fight him. The deal that he puts forth is that if the Israelite beats him, then the Philistines will become servants to Israel. But if Goliath defeats the identified Israeli warrior, then the Israelites become servants to the Philistines. King Saul and the Israelites are terrified, they're trembling, they do not see a way out of this. And then young David, Saul's son, steps up and he says, "I will go and fight him." And they all say, "Little man, this is very brave, but no, you cannot go. You'll be destroyed by this giant." But he remains calm and resolute. He says, "I'm called to do this." Saul says, "Okay." He doesn't see another option. And then the plot takes another surprising turn because little David tells Dad, "I'm not going to use any of the conventional armor or weapons that you can give me." He doesn't put any of that on. He picks up 5 smooth stones from the brook, puts them in his satchel with his slingshot, and walks right up to the giant. So Goliath is appalled. This is the best they can do. And he prepares to knock out the little guy. But brave David puts the stone in his slingshot, pulls it back, and lets it go. And it hits smack, knocks Goliath in the head. He falls big, he falls hard, and David has defeated Goliath. And people, it's a valuable story because I think life is a lot like that sometimes. Sometimes David beats Goliath. And I think we have a David in Malala. Marshall Gantz is a community organizer who worked with Cesar Chavez and other brave souls in successful grape picker strikes, winning against big odds, beating big, powerful corporations in California. Marshall Gantz says, "Sometimes David wins, and it's good to figure out why, so you can replicate it." So let's take a look at courageous, creative Malala. Like David, people did not expect Malala to resist the powerful oppressor. What is an 11-year-old girl going to do with guys driving around in Jeeps with AK-47s? She's going to get a little group of girls to get up their AK-47s and learn how to drive a Jeep? No. Like David, Malala showed amazing creative courage to cast off the expected modes of battle. David said, "I'm not going to use the armor and the sword. He'll kill me. But I'm going to get my stones and my slingshot that I've been using since I was 4. Malala didn't pick up an AK-47 to fight the Taliban. She wrote a blog with the BBC, and she told the story. She told her truth. She told about the struggle. She invited people in. And then, one at a time, she started getting girls into school. One of the best first stories is they had a woman who cleaned their house on a regular basis, who had 3 little daughters. And Malala said, "Father, I cannot see these little girls working in our house. But if the cycle and the patterns of society wouldn't have been broke, they probably would have come up working from very little. It would have been the only way to make ends meet in the house." And Dad was already running the school at the time. And she said, "Father, these girls should get a free education in your school." And her father admitted those girls, and now they're still there, and they are on a scholarship from the Malala Fund. Neither David nor Malala thought they were alone isolated beings. David was representing God. He was representing his parents. He was representing Israel. Malala is representing God. She's representing her parents, her little brothers, her village. They both had accountability. They had links and ties that mattered, that were alive at every moment for them. The Malala Fund is designed to go into the field and help girls and children all over get education to learn how to read, write, and think and speak for themselves. And it's designed for advocacy and giving. The main goal is get those kids a platform so that they can speak to the world about what they're doing and what they need. Malala says the day the Taliban shot her, she became ever more powerful. Reporters who interview her say the Taliban shot the wrong girl. She realized that she cannot be silenced. And now she and thousands of others have the attention of the world. She reminds me of David. She also reminds me of Gandhi and King. This girl has Gandhi and King power in her. She says, many people have been brainwashed. That's why they do things like suicide attacks and killing people. I can't imagine it. That boy who shot me, I cannot imagine hurting him. I believe in peace. I believe in mercy. Spreading peace and mercy and lifting voices around the globe, that is empowerment. So, I want to be honest. We all have busy lives, a lot going on, many issues already in our minds and in our hearts. And the reality is that the issues facing Malala may not speak to you as strongly as they do to her. She has her own context. The question is, what is your Goliath? What is weighing you down, keeping you feeling like you don't have a voice or any power to impact change? Many of us right now feel the weight of a large, overwhelming social issues. Today you'll hear a prophetic statement from our Ending Racism team addressing issues connected to Ferguson and Staten Island. Of course, we don't all agree, we all don't have to agree on the exact nature of problems. Nevertheless, most of us believe that our nation has some deep structural problems. We lament a country with far too much violence, too many gun deaths, too much imprisonment, lack of sufficient support for public schools, lack of quality nutrition and health care for too many people. We don't all have to agree on everything, but I think we can ask the question, how can we have influence on making lives better? Living a life of love and service can begin right here at home. So if you're feeling powerless, we invite you to get involved with the Ending Racism team or Citizens Against Mass Incarceration or tutoring at Lingelbach or Dr. King Day of Service or on and on. When we partner with others around a common cause, we can make a difference in ways that matter. In your personal life, what threatens to silence you? What makes you or others feel small or powerless? How do you find your words? How do you find your energy? Malala issued the invitation. Let us become the first generation to be the last. Let us begin this ending of powerlessness. Let us build a better future right here right now. Thank you. Amen.